What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're coming at you on a Monday morning.
Oh, yes.
We're totally recording this on Monday morning. and we're going to be talking about the recent victory in the preseason game over the Melbourne Victory.
The closest 18-point victory I think we've ever watched.
It was surprising. So we're going to break down what surprised us, what stood out to us. And today is Monday, which means we do the freshies every single week. Generally, it's kind of reserved for rookies. But today we're going to be talking about the rookie and the vet, if you will.
Oh, man. Yeah, this shout-out Swaggy PP.
Yeah, Patrick Patterson, we're going to do a season preview for him. And then since we didn't have enough time to do a season preview on the last show, we're going to be doubling up with Landry Shamet in the third segment. So stay tuned for all of that and more.
So the Clippers, since no one was able to watch this game, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Yeah, apparently you could stream it from an Australian site. I would have tweeted it out, but I couldn't get the link to work.
Yeah, regardless, the Clippers beat the Melbourne United 118-100 at a quasi-excited Staples Center on Sunday afternoon.
There were points where it was raucous.
Yes, there were. Terrence Mann did not play in this game. He took a knock in practice, which is a overarching theme of this team.
We're going to be talking, unfortunately, a lot about that.
And then Kawhi also did not play, just kind of a rest. But fun fact, Doc did say that on Thursday against the Mavs, everyone who is healthy will be playing.
That's correct.
So it's just some Kawhi.
So, yeah, Thursday you can expect everybody except for Magruder and Paul George.
Yeah.
Most likely.
So just we'll get some stats out of the way for you guys. Trez had 22-6-4 in 23 minutes. Lou had 16 points, including 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Not the best shooting percentage, but hey, that's Lou. Bev had 11-4-3 with 2 steals.
Which is just a beautiful Patrick Beverley stat line.
Oh, yes. And then Swaggy PP, Patrick Patterson, went 4-for-4 with 10 points. We will talk about him in the second segment.
Yeah.
But we have to give... We're going to start this first segment with what surprised us. And I think we have to take our hats off to the Melbourne United.
Yeah, they really showed out. I was immediately worried when watching footage when we were in the locker room. They are just so big.
They're a huge team. They got 2 7-footers. I mean, they were winning at halftime.
Yes.
We were losing this game at halftime, and it wasn't the kind of losing where, oh, wow, Melbourne's kind of playing out of control, blah, blah, blah. They just looked like they wanted it more. They're also, 2 weeks into their own season?
Yeah, NBL. So
they were running with some great continuity. And Doc mentioned one of the reasons that he likes playing Australian teams, and it was very evident today, was how much motion they have.
For sure, yeah. And it was immediately evident. It's interesting. Yeah, he commended them on that, and he says you won't see that from any NBA team in a preseason game.
None. And he's totally right. Like they were running sets. Their first basket was a 3-pointer from a 7-footer.
Yeah,
which was kind of terrifying. Joe Luol Asul Jr. I'm sure I'm
probably butchering the name, but why is this guy not in the league?
He needs to be in the he would destroy in the G League. He looks great. There was this guy, Chris Goulding, 7-for-21, was a little crazy, but he had 16 points. Melo Trimble, 22 points. Like
he was big for a guard. He was stout.
There's some hoopers on this team.
Yes.
They were flustering us in the first half with physicality.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And just that motion offense. I was a little worried. Honestly, in the first half, Zoo looked a little rusty in the first half.
Yeah, there were some possessions early on where we kind of saw that during the headlights look that became a pretty common theme in the Warriors series. But I thought that he came around in the second half pretty well. He did a much better job of handling the physicality than I would have thought.
Yeah, there were 2 to 3 guys. Anytime Zoo was near a possible rebound,
they packed the paint.
It was like the Jokic thing that we saw, what we did to him. It was just people just like, hey, what's up? We're here too.
Yeah.
A cool thing that Doc mentioned in the second half that I think kind of surprised everyone was there were no adjustments at halftime.
Yeah. So, Doc just said that they actually executed and played defense. They didn't change the game plan. They didn't need to like throw anything out the window.
Yeah, I think his quote was, how about we just win with our game plan? Because a player asked him if they're going to change it. He goes, no, let's just win. Let's try and win this preseason game with our actual game plan.
Yeah.
Was there anything from the Clippers' point of view that surprised you?
I mean, I've just been really impressed with Patrick Patterson's play. This was a signing that I think that I was overly vocal in being down on, or at least not impressed with.
You weren't the only one. I've treated it the same way. It's kind of like, well, he's Paul George's friend. That's good. Maybe he's going to play some limited minutes. As soon as he came into the game, him and Mo Harkless, things were, it felt a little more even keel.
Things were clicking. I've been really impressed with his performance. We're going to talk more about him in the second segment, so I won't dwell on it too much. But overall, just having a guy like that, like a vet guy who can take the physicality, who knows the right spots to be.
He looks big out there. Even against the Australian guys who all looked big, Patterson was holding his own.
Yeah. It just can't be overstated like how important I think it is to have a vet like that in the rotation.
Yeah. Another thing that kind of surprised me, and for maybe not the best reasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jerome played 31 minutes, mm-hmm. had an absurd dunk.
It was great.
If you can find the clip of his dunk on the 7-footer, watch it. But he's just, Doc said it in the post game that Jerome's a much better shooter than what he's been showing.
Yeah, so this was an interesting, I guess we can
I believe that. I think it's true, too.
Yeah, I guess we can segue into this, like just what to take away from this game.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, he was disappointed with Jerome's defensive performance. I believe he had 5 personal fouls in this one.
Yes, he did.
and Doc mentioned he plays defense with his hands too much. He's having trouble adjusting. Somebody asked an interesting question if they thought that his development maybe got a little bit stunted because of the injury and because of the time in the G League. Essentially, Doc said he didn't see how it couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that was and it makes sense. I think Jerome's getting a bunch of, not hate, but a lot of people are like, well, you know, let's move on from Jerome. He shouldn't get minutes, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, it's there. You can, when things start going well, you can see that it's there.
Yeah.
I'm not as much a member of the Jerome Robinson Island as you are.
Yeah.
But I am slowly paddling my boat in that direction.
The wind is
slowly pushing me towards, like, I can see what's going on.
Yeah, so I guess the only thing that will disappoint me is he had a couple of early travels, and it's, you know, it's whatever. Like, you're getting your head in the game. He's a young guy. He sometimes lacks the composure that you would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
And he did turn that around, you know, in the second half. But
he only finished with 2 turnovers. He had those, I think it was 2 early travels, and then it was nipped in the bud.
Yeah.
Which was good.
Yeah.
So he can make adjustments well.
Yeah.
But I think he can make adjustments well, to Doc's point, because he's had to.
Yes.
So it's nice to see that he has that ability, but I'd love it if his game was, you know, health-wise and everything. I would love to see him in a situation where he doesn't have to make these adjustments. And that's not disrespecting him at all. It's just he's been dealt a pretty tough hand.
Yeah.
Rookie or wise.
He had a very bizarre shooting foul, and this will be the last thing on Jerome, but I don't need to make this a Jerome podcast, but he had kind of a bizarre shooting foul. It was maybe a little bit questionable, but Pat Beverly like grabbed him by the wrist and pulled him aside to say something. So it's nice to see that you know, there is a lot of belief in him within the organization, like within the players.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can only hope that he develops. Like, this is the most significant minutes he's ever gotten to play against.
31's a lot.
I mean, NBA caliber talent.
It was a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could have seen the game, it wasn't a shock they were beating us at half. Zubat said in the locker room after they kind of took it maybe a little easier than they thought they were going into it. We've talked about a couple main guys. We talked about Lou. Bev was great. We need to talk about Derek Walton Jr.
Oh, man.
This guy needs to be on the team.
Derek Walton Jr. had an amazing performance. At one point, he had the best plus-minus of any player on the team. He was part of that, like, kind of...
I think he did finish plus 22.
Yeah.
Wow. He went 6 of 9, 14 points, 1 of 3 from 3, a couple of boards, couple of dimes. The dude, like...
So the biggest takeaway is that Derek Walton needs to be given a contract. He needs to take the 15th spot.
He absolutely has to. I'll plant my flag on this, but I mean, he's physical.
He was the okay. So he's only 6'1".
yeah.
And he's a stout.
He's built like a tank.
He is a stout man. And he, and on two different occasions going for a layup, knocked another adult man to the ground.
Shoulder to chest. And it's the point where he plays so well. He plays within himself so well because he doesn't get fouls on that.
No.
Because he knows how to use his body.
Yeah.
He's a bolt of lightning. His energy is
I was going to say, the energy is like, he's just a very... He fits just the identity of what this Clippers team has been for the last couple of years.
Yeah, and Trez, we saw some classic... there were some classic Clippers-isms from last year in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Trez's energy bringing the team up.
Yep.
And Lou getting to the line to help us out.
Yeah.
So it's nice that those constants are still there.
There are some things you can hang your hat on.
Yes,
you know?
Definitely. But no, Derek Walton, I think, was the biggest surprise from this game, at least for me. Like, I knew we've seen his energy, but I get, this is the best competition we're going to play in the preseason.
What about the Nuggets and the Rockets?
I'm saying this is better from what Doc said because
gotcha.
They have more motion right now.
Gotcha.
They have more familiarity. They're in, not midseason form, but that was
10% of the season form. Yeah,
that was a well-drilled team.
It was, yeah.
I think Doc said it. He was like, they were running all their sets perfectly. Like,
interesting side note. They picked up two dudes just for the week.
That was wild. We got a tiny, I guess, scoop or whatever. Yeah, they picked up two guys. I think it was Quincy Miller was one of them. And they're just not going back to Melbourne with them. They literally had two guys hurt, signed these two dudes. And they played pretty good.
Yeah.
Quincy Miller went 2-4. It's not bad. But yeah, the Clippers, they got the dub. Coming up after this segment, we're going to be talking the surprise of the game, I think.
Yeah.
Which is Swaggy PP. But first, we have to give a shout out to Manscaped. It is the number one in men's below the belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com.
Were you coming off the top with that?
Oh, yeah, that was straight off the
top. That was rehearsed. That was good. So, yeah, like I said in the other segment, it's a season preview. But it's partially only a preseason preview.
Recap type thing. Because Patterson, we didn't really know what his role was coming into this team.
Yeah,
of?
I mean, he...
Usage-wise, we knew what his role was, but not how much he's going to be used.
Yeah, not how he was going to be used. Didn't have a great shooting percentage last season.
No.
You know, you could argue the quality of the looks maybe wasn't there.
I always go back to that Jermichael Green quote where he goes... These shots are open when you're playing for the Clippers.
Like wide open.
Yeah, these are open shots.
So, yeah, I mean, he's impressed me in both the last two games. I mean, the shooting has super surprised me. I don't
the
know.
The shooting has blown
I
my
mean,
mind these past
He was perfect
games.
From the field today.
Yes.
So that obviously won't carry through at that rate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he even has the threat of a couple threes on that unit and he can provide the type of defense that he plays on the other end, just, I mean, he's always like disrupting shots. He's getting in the lane.
Yeah.
And I guess the thing I really want to talk about is I feel like he's perfect at the four for what everyone else doesn't do or we maybe don't want them to do.
Which is?
Taking a lot of physical punishment.
Yeah. He's built.
Yeah.
His jersey is also, I don't know what size his jersey is, but sometimes you're like, dude, okay, you're not, like, it looks even bigger.
Trace XL.
Yeah, dude, it looks huge. But I totally love that point you made about punishment because I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But it was perfect in a very physical game today.
Mm-hmm.
He came in, didn't take a knock as a bunch of dudes did, and just, he settled everyone down.
Yeah.
It was just his presence and kind of, he hit timely shots. It was breath of fresh air feels like the wrong word, but for that game, he injected something that the Clippers absolutely needed.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like we've talked a lot on this show about what rotations at the five could look like.
Ooh.
And I think what's something interesting is actually like, what are we doing at the four, truly? Because
you mean when Kawhi and Paul George aren't out there?
Yes. Or no, even when they are. I mean, we've most likely heard the hints that neither one of those dudes will be playing power forward for at least the majority of their minutes.
Yeah.
And Jermichael Green is him or Mo Harkless. I mean,
I think Green's shooting puts him above a little bit of Mo.
Yeah. I think
matchup wise,
I think Mo's defensive versatility, they really like,
Yeah.
So I mean, either guy has like a really strong argument, but I think that Patterson is an interesting tool if we're thinking about like sort of the sliding lineup kind of thing, because while he doesn't have the versatility of Mo Harkless, like he can't switch, you know, one through three or one through four.
Yeah.
He can, like I said, he can just take a lot of physical punishment. He's a big dude.
Yeah, and he plays with vet knowledge.
Yes.
He plays, Doc had a quote pregame specifically about, I think it was Terrence Mann.
Yeah.
Something about how, like, you can play fast, but guys who've been in this league just know what to do.
Yeah.
And Patrick,
and they'll always beat you.
Yeah, and Patrick Patterson had that on full display today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, like... It was really cool to see him come in and just kind of crush. I hate that I don't have a better term for it, but Doc, to go back to your number four in the lineup situation, Doc talked about a lineup that we're going to expect to see this year, which is PG, Kawhi, Lou, Trez, and then as Doc said it, pick them.
Yeah. Pick one.
Is there a chance we see Patterson in that situation at any time?
I mean... I think
kind of a weird sized lineup.
Yeah.
But they're shooting. There's two deadly shooters in Paul and Lou. And then if Kawhi's feeling it a little bit, he's obviously comparable from beyond the arc. And then if Patterson is even remotely anywhere near where he was tonight in terms of feeling his shot, that's not the worst.
No.
I don't know how much we see that one specifically. But it's nice to see that Patterson can contribute.
For sure.
And as this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who's followed this team, especially in the last 2 years, we hope you've been following longer than that, knows his role.
Yes.
Every guy in this unit knows their role. He and Mo were great together. Mo only played 16 minutes tonight. But I think Mo and Patterson might be a really fun combo.
Yeah.
Just absolutely. In terms of that settling people down and making those like fundamental plays to build momentum off of.
Yeah, it's just like the nose to the grindstone kind of. It's like I said earlier, he's just kind of the perfect identity of a Clipper. I mean, thus far, from the showings thus far.
Yeah, which I think is a testament to how much of a vet he is.
Yeah.
Where he comes in, he goes, he didn't get any time those first two games. Yep. Comes in, does his job perfectly.
Ready to go.
Gets it done. What are we expecting from him? Now that we've kind of seen this, what do you think we're going to see from him minutes-wise?
So, last year, I mean, the last couple of seasons, he's been right around, like, the 15 mark.
Yeah.
I would say probably there to maybe a little bit less.
Yeah.
Just depending. And, you know, once again, this is all, like, very flexible, especially if we are being, like, using this kind of rotating... sliding lineup, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, we should call it the pick'em lineup.
Pick'em, I like. I don't think it would be more than that.
There's just too many, and no disrespect to Patrick Patterson after we've just been singing his praises for 9.5 minutes. There are just better people ahead of him. I'm not saying that to discredit Patrick Patterson, but if guys are all playing like they should, there's just, you know, some guys ahead of him who deserve maybe more minutes.
Yeah, for sure. But I do think, I don't know, let's say Jermichael's in a shooting slump or something.
Yeah. We just need some defense. We're in a slump or something.
Yeah. He could play some heavier minutes.
What do you think about his defense?
I've been a fan.
I was into it as well. It's just, I mean, it's funny because I just keep getting surprised that, and I guess at some point it's going to be kind of, we'll be numb to it, but it's just amazing to see how much the Clippers can get from these guys that they're picking up who are seen as fillers.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they took on Mo just to appease the salary thing.
If you thought Mo was a filler, I'm sorry. You need to watch more basketball.
People did. People were like, they took on Mo to take on this contract, blah, 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 blah. Patrick Patterson. We made fun of the signing a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't know how much he was going to play. I don't know if I say we're wrong yet. Preseason, he's proving us wrong right now, which is fantastic.
Well, preseason is indicative of everything that's going to happen.
It is when you play the Melbourne United and you're losing at half.
With that being said, I mean, should we transition into our Landry Shamet preview now that we've said that preseason is the indicator of everything that could happen?
Oh, man. Coming up after this, we have a possibly kind of spooky, scary Landry Shamet preview.
Ooh.
All right. So welcome to the Landry Shamet 2019 to 2020 season preview. Shamet did pick up a knock in this game.
Yeah. So apparently the wrist.
Left wrist, luckily.
Yeah.
Not his right wrist. Should we just run through who picked up knocks in this game?
Oh, yeah.
Real quick. Patrick Beverley, calf. Amir Coffey, calf. Shamet, wrist. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought there was another one. But anyway, there's just a lot of knocks going around right now.
Yeah.
Which is not good. But
Landry Shamet, hopefully isn't a season preview.
Hey. Landry Shamet finished today's game, 3 of 7, 1 of 5 from 3, 7 points, 1 board.
Yeah.
Is there worrisome for this upcoming season? I know I've been maybe not as positive Chuck Mockler when I've been kind of like, oh, I guess I'm on the bandwagon that missing all these shots doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm not sure if I'm that chill and okay with being like, hey, he's going to get it figured out. We got one preseason game left.
So there's some interesting things going on there. He is shooting 18% from 3 through the preseason. 30%. Oh, I believe he set 30% overall field goal percentage. Missing a lot of looks that he would normally knock down.
And the thing that freaked me out a little bit was today the trajectory looked so goofy. That could have been a wrist issue though, because he picked up the injury in practice. I think it was aggravated during the game.
Yeah.
But the trajectory of some of these shots, it was flat.
Yeah.
And some of the misses just didn't look like Shamet misses.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be somewhat natural to maybe expect a slight regression from where he was at last year.
I don't want to, but that is a rational thought that I can't think of a rebuttal.
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
No, but it's not crazy to think.
Like, that's not absurd to think. And that's not to say that he still won't be very, very good.
If not the same player, too, but...
And depending on the amount of looks... I mean, that he's able to get, even if he's not converting at the, you know, almost historic clip that he was for a rookie last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I still think he'll be right around that, like, 9 points per game kind of score.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Man, I hope it goes up a little bit. Yeah, he shot 42% overall from 3 last year, 45% for the Clippers in 25 games.
Yeah.
So... definitely maybe might fair to think there might be some regression there. I think he can get up to like a 15-point scorer, though. I love Shamet's potential and everything he can do. He put the ball on the floor well a couple games ago, which was nice.
So that's been the most impressive thing to me.
Yes, I've been very psyched on that.
I don't know if point Shamet is necessarily something that we need to see.
No, I mean, not with Derek Walton Jr. out there.
But seeing him drive in the lane, seeing him get to the rim, there's a lot of athleticism there. There's some promising, interesting things.
It's also, just full disclosure, wild that he only averaged 11 points for the Clippers last year. Always felt like he was putting up more than that.
He just had some games where he torched people.
For sure.
But last year he saw with the Clippers about 6 attempts from 3 per game.
Yeah.
I just don't see that number going up.
Yeah.
There's only so many shots, you know?
I think maybe we'll see it without Paul George. I think we'll see it go up.
For sure.
And then I think when Paul George comes back, hopefully he'll be in that rhythm where he can just keep it hot when he's on the second unit or wherever he ends up being, given the pick'em lineup that we're going to be going with.
Yeah.
But and that's the thing. It's like, it's almost a Patrick Patterson situation. There's guys ahead of him who should be getting more shots than he should.
Yeah.
In terms of Landry Shamet. Again, no disrespect to Shamet.
Just through the preseason.
Just through the preseason right now, it seems like it. I'm holding out hope.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this has been a little bit negative, but
oh, of course.
I just think that it would be natural for him to maybe have a slight regression, but at least the thing that I was worried about, which I've been worried about with Landry Shamet is if we just have him like camping out on spot up attempts I just don't think that's really using him to his full potential. And it's great when he can knock him down. Mm-hmm. But I just think that there is more to his game. So I have been impressed that we are seeing that aspect. We are seeing this other part of his game. So, you know, I think just having an extra little wrinkle, you know, defenses are already pretty aware of where he is at all times on the floor. So just having an extra thing, I think, just commands a little bit of extra respect. But
it's hard because I'm so excited for his year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just it's just really hard because the recency bias of how kind of tough the preseason has been is kind of eating into my brain. And I don't want people to think that I'm truly down on him as a whole. But it just does feel like one of those things where I'm seeing so much not as good stuff.
Yeah.
That I'm hoping habits or mentally it's not wearing on him.
So I don't think that any of this thing is much of anything
much
to write home about.
Okay.
The 3-point percentage is like shockingly low. But the thing that's interesting is he has been knocking down a lot of these like kind of clutch motion shots where he's like moving in the air.
Mm-hmm.
They used him in really interesting ways where he would do like baseline cuts and like just while still running, essentially catch the ball and shoot it.
Yeah.
And those looks, he has been knocking down, I feel like, at a higher percentage. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me.
Yeah.
Versus some of the wider looks, which is interesting.
I was just had this thought, and it might be a complete lunatic thought, that would you rather have him shooting 18% from three right now?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have him shooting 18% from three or like 28? Like, would you rather have it be this abysmal or medium abysmal where you're kind of like, I guess he's figuring it out? Because when it's this abysmal, it's easier for my brain to be like, he's obviously going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, 1 of 18
absolutely.
Is crazy.
Absolutely.
But if he was like 4 of 18, I'd be like, oh, man. Like, this is like, is this just the pattern now? But this, for lack of a better term, and it is only preseason, bad of shooting splits.
Feels fluky.
Yeah.
It just feels very fluky. So, yeah, I mean, overall, I think that I'm very excited about his season. I think we're going to see him do some different things, which will be exciting. I just think that a regression is possible solely because he's going to be taking a smaller role.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it could change if they do end up going some sort of sliding lineup wherein Landry is an extra guard. And they move Paul and Kawhi down a position, you know, that could obviously change.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see him in those first games without without Paul George.
Yeah.
Cause that's a big litmus test.
Yeah.
Not only for him, but for the whole team.
That's a good call. And we haven't touched on this yet in his preview, but he's going to be carrying a much heavier offensive load then.
Minimum first 10 games.
So this, I feel like maybe our season preview right now could even change given what we see in those 10 games.
Yeah, that's a very good call. Do we have any minutes-wise? What are we thinking when everyone's full strength? He was at, 28 last year, which I don't think he's going to get to this year.
I still think with that second unit, he's going to be...
And the pick'em lineups that we're going with.
He's going to be in the realm of 22, 25.
I was gonna say 20 plus for sure.
Yeah.
And anything after that, I trust Doc in terms of whatever's happening in the game.
I think it'll be dependent on how everyone else is playing, you know?
Yeah, but I want to see 20. I think that's fair. Also fair to see regression from those. 28 minutes a game as a rookie with the Clippers is fantastic, but we put a lot of firepower and new guys on the lineup. Do we see him making a jump this year? The classic jump that apparently everyone is supposed to make their second year in the league.
I think that it won't be like a pronounced jump. I think that if you are a fan of the team and you follow every game, like you probably do if you listen to this podcast, you're going to see him take a jump in terms of like comfortability, ball
little
handling,
stuff, maybe some more dime. Okay, yeah,
getting
for sure.
Like getting to the rim, hopefully passing. But I think...
Because I was trying to think about like what that even means, and I was like, okay, should we shot 40% or whatever from three last year. What's the jump from that?
Yeah.
You want him to shoot 47%? Like,
I mean, if that stayed the same, that'd be great.
That would almost be a jump to me.
That would be a jump. That's
if he can keep that 43 whatever percent, that would be unbelievable.
If he can maintain that type of consistency in another year, that to me is the real jump while adding these little aspects to his game, improving his defense.
Yeah. Man, we didn't mean that to be so negative in the beginning.
Hey, what are you going to do?
It's preseason. We're getting through it, too. Thank you so much for hanging out, you guys. We're going to have a brand new episode for you on Tuesday.
Yep, that's right.
We're going to be taking your questions that we get from you on Monday. What? We're messing with the timelines here. We're also going to have a player preview of, we're going to do Terrence Mann's on Tuesday.
Yep.
Swaggy PP just stole our hearts.
Yeah.
From this game.
Patterson had to be touched on. Wow, that did not come out right.
Thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe, everything on iTunes, Spotify, French music streaming platform, Deezer.
Yeah.
We would love to go to France to do this as a live podcast.
Are we on Bandcamp?
I don't know. Is Bandcamp still a thing?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Shout out to the people who tweet at the Locked On Clippers account that they see us at games.
Oh, yeah. We love it.
But do so from accounts that do not have real names or faces on it. Feels a little weird, but I like it.
I still like it.
We appreciate you guys. We are so excited for the season to start. We know there's one more preseason game, but we cannot wait. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Uptake. Thanks for listening.